An Irish folk song with hazy roots and several meanings. Oro Shadavaha Walia. Oh man, have I chased down a number of rabbit trails about this seemingly simple song. Here's what seems to have happened. The inestimable Wikipedia says, similarly to many folk songs, the origins of this song are obscure. To put it mildly, however, it seems to be the case that sometime in early Irish Celtic history, and who knows what time period this actually was, a tradition developed of hauling the bride home, which took place a month after the original wedding and consisted of the new bride's being hauled to her now husband's house. It isn't clear to me where she'd stay for that month, at her father's house, one would guess, but who knows? It's important to note that the original folk song, if there is indeed such a thing, consisted only of the chorus. Anyway, here's how we think it went. Again, from Wikipedia. The hauling home was bringing home the bride to her husband's house after marriage. It was usually a month or so after the wedding and was celebrated as an occasion next only in importance to the wedding itself. The bridegroom brought home his bride at the head of a triumphal procession, all on cars, which I think must mean carts, or on horseback. I well remember one where the bride rode on a pillion behind her husband. As they enter the house, the bridegroom is supposed to speak or sing, "Oro, welcome home. I would rather have you than 100 milk cows. Oro, welcome home. 'Tis you are happy with prosperity in store for you." The piper, seated outside the house at the arrival of the party, playing hard, that is, with great spirit, nearly all who were at the wedding a month previous being in the procession. Oh, for the good old times. Nothing says love like being favorably compared to a milk cow, don't you think? I think that it's perhaps not unfair to say that this tradition grew out of a desire for an excuse to have another party. I was reminded of this passage from Gone with the Wind, which describes typical antebellum South post-wedding festivities. If there had not been a war, there would have been a week of visiting about the county, with balls and barbecues in honor of the two newly married couples before they set off to Saratoga or White Sulphur for wedding trips. If there had not been a war, Scarlett would have had a third day and a fourth day and fifth day dresses to wear to the Fontaine and Calvert and Tarleton parties in her honor. But there were no parties now and no wedding trips. And yes, I have great swaths of GWTW committed to memory. Well, such a rollicking refrain cried out for some verses. And so sometime around 1745 to 46, the song was rewritten and the milk cows were removed, alas, with verses added that referred to Bonnie Prince Charlie, the grandson of the deposed English King James I. I simply can't go into all that complicated history in this post, but would recommend if you're interested that you read the post I wrote about the Prince of the Flying Curls and Feathers. That's what I call him anyway. Just keep in mind that there were Irish troops fighting alongside the Scottish ones in support of BPC, which helps explain why there's an Irish song about a battle that's strongly associated with Scotland fighting against England. But the Jacobite version, James equals Jacob, has been supplanted by a much more interesting and romantic story about a legendary female Irish pirate/patriot, English name Grace O'Malley, who was a symbol of the Irish thirst for independence. This set of verses was written by our good friend Padraig Pearse, one of the main leaders of the Easter Uprising in 1916. You can read all about that dreadful doomed event by going to my post about the song Grace. Since this version is the one most often performed today, and since my own choir, the Cherry Creek Chorale, has sung it, I'm sticking to that version for this post. Ms. Molloy was a real person who lived at the time of Queen Elizabeth and had a very tempestuous life. You can watch the video below by a charming young Irishman and get a good brief overview of her significance. Then, underneath that, there is a great performance of that version of the song, and below that is a full version of the lyrics with the original Gaelic, a phoneticized version for us ignorant non-Gaelic speakers, and then an English translation. So have at it. Of course, since you're listening to this instead of reading this, you will need to follow the link to the actual written blog post below this audio track or read below the track on the blog itself in order to access this material. Grace O'Malley, who was a symbol of the Irish thirst for independence. This set of verses was written by our good friend Padraig Pearse, one of the main leaders of the Easter Uprising, in 1916. You can read all about that dreadful doomed event by going to my post about the song Grace. Since my own choir, the Cherry Creek Chorale, has performed it a couple of times, I'm sticking to that version for this post. Ms. O'Malley was a real person who lived at the time of Queen Elizabeth and had a very tempestuous life. You can watch the video below by a charming young Irishman and get a good brief overview of her significance. Then I include a great performance of that version of the song, and below that, a full version of the lyrics with the original Gaelic, a phoneticized version for us ignorant non-Gaelic speakers, and then an English translation. All of this material is available on the written blog that you can access below this track if you're listening on the website. Otherwise, click on the link below the track to take you to the blog. You'll also get links for following. You'll also be able to follow the links for the other sources that I mentioned.